Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are you doing?
Good.
All right, we're kind of looking a little bright-eyed and bushy-tailed today, huh?
That's
good, now that we all survived the polar vortex apocalypse, all right? Mark, you selected a scripture you wanted us to look at today, and that comes from Paul's writing in Romans chapter 12. Right? I know there's a certain verse that jumps out at you, but I'd like to put it in its context. So how about we start at chapter 12, verse 9, and go through the end of the chapter, which is verse 21. Could you read that for us then?
Certainly can. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head.
One more.
Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Very good, very good. All right, thank you. So basically what we have here is Paul giving us, I counted before we went on the air, an arpeggio of probably 29 imperatives that kind of run up and down the entire scale of what we'd understand as love. 29 examples of how love is genuine. Right? In short, what Paul's really trying to say is you will never run out of an occasion to show love. Right? You're never going to have somebody you can't love. Right? You're always going to have those opportunities. Right? That's kind of it in a nutshell as far as context. Right? These are examples of how love be genuine. Right? And I like when he talks about being genuine, and again, this is agape. Right? Although he does say that second verse about mutual affection towards one another, that sometimes we will the good of those close to us in what we may call philia or philios, brotherly love. Right? But if love is going to be genuine, it has to be selfless. And it has to be willing the good of the other. And sometimes that other is even your enemy. So, having said that, I think our listening audience would be eager to hear what you have to say.
What I see here is it's really kind of like the Christian Jesus' way of destroying one's enemies. One would, read the scriptures about his crucifixion, and it would kind of marvel at Jesus' praise toward the people who were punishing him. But what we see, his death on the cross was the greatest act of love in history. Forgiving the people who were nailing him to a tree. And that, I think, is not the license for us to live as we want, because he just took away everything that was wrong in us, but he showed us how to overcome hate. That we convict hate by making our enemies our friends through showing them kindness. That we heat burning coals in the face of hate.
And Scripture has a little, at the time of the crucifixion, right, the centurion and some others, surely this is the Son of God. They kind of see through that, but what a challenge it is, you know, when we're really being picked on. I think all of us would say we're blessed and fortunate that we've never been picked on to that extreme. But even, Father, they don't know what they're doing. Right? In the midst of all this, I know you hate me, but I'm going to separate us by unifying us. The separation is I'm not going to hate you back. And by loving you, even though you don't realize, with the love of the Father, that you don't even realize loves you, that we're actually brothers, I'm not going to step down. Right? I'm going to unify us. Right? It's almost as if, you know, when you think about that crucifixion, it'd be a different world if he did kind of scream out, defend himself, retaliate, etc., etc. I'm not sure what we call Christianity would have thrived. Mm-hmm. If it did, it'd be an entirely different book. But I like your insights, particularly, it's interesting, Paul, this is always about the other. When you think about the cultural climate within our nation, you know, that seems to be growing more and more us versus them on all different fronts. Mm-hmm. All right? This is a pretty powerful message. That even there probably has a moral imperative on reunification of a nation, of a people. All right? On all different fronts. I'm not just speaking political or social and things like that. I think it's all across the board. All right? So, anybody else?
Yeah, I think it's you. Like, I know, one thing I read through this, and I keep reading through it, is it doesn't talk about putting barriers between people. It talks
right.
about rejoicing people together, bringing people together. It's not about separation. It's about bringing even those that are going to harm you, or you feel like they're going to harm you, to your dinner table. You know, bringing to just love on them and to just show them that kindness that you respect from them, but give it to them, even though they may not be willing to.
And we're back to what Mark was saying. You know, on the cross, Jesus says, you know, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I know that you love them, and so I will love them too. Right?
And then you got, like, in 19, that then he talks about that that's their problems are for him to solve. You know, their mm-hmm. issues, their wrongdoings are for him to take care of. Not for us to take care of it for him.
Like, you know, want to jump on like the like you're saying, everyone take care of them. But the example like Paul and what Jesus gave us was this love, like the title of this one, Love in Action in the NIV. So it's not, yeah, these words are expression of an action, but it's an action. Everything he's saying to do, these are like movements. These are like foot, like, you know, take action. It's not just let's just talk about it. It makes me think about that, those barriers, like when I was reading this morning, one of them, I think it was that email, about the Samaritan woman where Jesus goes to the well, and he's like, basically, hey, you're on your, what would be nowadays, your fifth baby daddy, you're not married to him. You know, for a Jewish man to even step over those boundaries and take this love in action, as a Jewish man, he talked to a woman that was a non-Jew, and you know, his opinion or what, maybe not agreed, he still offered that living water that she never thirsted from. I think that's the example of the action, like stepping outside of our comfort zones, even stepping out when people say, hey, you shouldn't talk to that person, or you shouldn't do that. We still are moved by this love, this action, we take these footsteps. And it's that example. I put something on Facebook the other day, it said, my grandma had it and I shared it, but it was like, you know, you don't change the world by your opinion, it's by your example, by your action. So sometimes it's not the words, it's, you know, watch me do it. This is what, you know, takes a few strong people to step out there, even in the face of the adversity, your enemies, and people are disrespecting them, you still put this love in action. I mean, that's what changed it. I have all kinds of opinions. I don't agree with a lot of things. I don't agree with this heroin stuff, but you know what I can do? I got 4 years coming up not using heroin. I'm going to keep this moving in action. Mm-hmm. I'll be the example. That's how it's going to change. Mm-hmm. I can sit to them, blow my face, and not agree with people's lifestyles, living like that, but I just got to do it. And, I mean, that's the action.
Yeah, it's one of the, it's either Dorothy Day or Mother Teresa, one of our great, right, Christian spiritual leaders of a while ago once said, if you want to change the world, change you. You know, and that's how we start. We're responsible for self, and we're the ones that'll be judged in our Christian walk. Right? And so how genuine is that? It's interesting how Paul says, well, let love be genuine. Because we've all been around where our love hasn't been so genuine. Right? It's been a form of manipulation to either get what we want, coercion even. Right, guised in even kindness or whatever. But here he's talking about genuine, and that genuine in all these really is, you know, just what you're saying, Zach. You know, taking away maybe even my opinion, taking away maybe my dreams, taking away even my emotion. I don't feel like it. I don't want to, but because you said so, right? I'll do it. Because in those things, we are putting aside what Paul talked about in Colossians, our sarks, our sinful nature, our fleshy nature, our ego. It's not about me, right? It's really about the other. Which, back to what you said, Mark, is the premier model is what we find on the cross. Right? That's the fullest revelation of God's love. And here Paul's saying, look, we can do... You want to say we can do many crucifixions in our lives, right? When I put to death my opinion, when I put to death my judgments, when I put to death my emotional discomfort with you or whatever, in order to do the love, it's things like that that help make it genuine, right? That's a key word that Paul uses here, you know, because obviously, there. Why else would you put it in there unless there's a lot of fake love out there?
I mean, for me, like, I always wonder, like, how do you get this genuine love? Like, and then I found out going through the program, so it's like, it's God. That's where you got to get it. That's where you got to learn. That's where you got to allow that grace to take in. That's the real thing. If you don't get that, then you'll never be able to show it.
I mean, you can't give away something you don't have.
We can't. Yeah. You know, it's just like, it's just the action. And then once you, like for me, that grace, you step into it, you get that genuine love, and then you can give it. You know, it's that old saying, you know, a crooked stick, a guy will take a crooked stick and make straight lines. You know, like, yeah, here's a liar sitting before you right now that will tell you about this truth that will save you. Like, you know, so it's like, it's the craziest flip, like, yeah. I say, even when they don't believe, it'll still be that love and action. That's the thing. That's the work.
And it really sounds easy.
That's not.
It's not. Yeah, our listening audience, everybody's kind of chuckling, got a smile on their face, and nodding their heads. Yes, it's.
Well, for me, though, like,
it's simple. It's just not easy.
Well, I make jokes all the time, but it is a real thing. Like, I have a lot of situations daily where you're lucky I got Jesus. Like, I say in my head, you're just lucky right now, like what you're saying to me. Like, but I'm saying that's when I always go back to that genuine love, because sometimes even with me, it's like, you know, I really want to say this right now. Okay, I got to go, you know, we got to get a little taste of that genuine love real quick, you know, so we don't say what we really want to say, you know, or, I don't know, it's just, yeah, and it's hard.
As Mark likes to say around here, you know, it's we need a Jesus talk.
Yeah.
Well, good stuff, gentlemen. Thank you very much for sharing all that on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. So until we meet again next week, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.